turn our Bibles to Psalm 119. But maybe before that, we'll turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Oh, Marty. The team just got back from Cambodia, I saw. There they are. They just arrived, I think. Yeah. They were in Thailand and Cambodia. And also I heard there was a great team in China that traveled around in four different cities. And for like 2 or 3 weeks, you know, people from two different churches met and they traveled around. And also the group from New Zealand got back last night. Is anybody here from the New Zealand trip? Yeah, there's people from New Zealand trip. And does anyone know the Russian word for team? Does anyone know the Russian word for team? It's an incredibly descriptive word, and it means so much. Who knows it? Raise your hand if you know it. Pastor Kendi, know it. What is it? Yes, commando. It's an incredible word, team. I love to hear that word. When I hear commando, it just sounds so powerful. It sounds better than team, doesn't it? Commando. And it's just, I don't know, it just seems like you think of Russian soldiers or something when I hear that word, and commando. And, we see, I'm sure, I heard my daughter give it, she talked a little bit to me, and she just spoke about team. I read a testimony from Pastor Hewlett. He spoke about team. Read a testimony from Pastor Hewlett, Pastor Cornell, and he spoke about team. We are a team, and we see the ability of a team when every joint supplies, and we discover our purpose as we lose our life on a team. I give you an example. I don't want to, like, but Belfast Bible College is where Paul Lipset went for 1 year, and we had like rooms in there in the dormitory, but we had the kitchen, and in the kitchen we discovered team life. We served each other, we prepared meals, we lived together, and we saw like people realize their value in the body of Christ in a team. This is so important for each one of us. We wonder why the fullness of God is in the body of Christ. It's like it's the commando. It's like where you take on purposes that you can't do without the other people, and it's where people encourage you to do something that you would never do. And it's where you accomplish things together that you could never do alone. Commando is an incredible experience. And we saw it on the teams that went out. Pastor Love and his group, we went to the airport together on the 26th of July. And we saw a team going out. So thankful for like people that went. People said, like, wrote me emails and said they were praying. Before I left, they said they were praying. So thankful for our church and what we, you know, we there's three things we accomplished this summer. I don't know. I'm Pastor Gary. I was on a summer harvest. I don't know. Maybe you're new here, but we had many summer harvests this summer. But what did we accomplish? Team life. Like, we were together. And then the second thing is we impacted our churches. We impacted people that we know. I'm not going to tell you. Like, from churches to individuals to small flocks, We met people that we knew, to people that are living alone and want a church. We met those people, and we can encourage them. And we saw, literally, we saw straight faces turn to smiles. We saw strength come back into their bones. We saw healing. You know, we saw healing, the healing of joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We saw, you know, what I wanted to speak on, I didn't say the third thing. That was the second thing, right? Didn't I say that? And then the third thing, what was the third thing? Third thing was we reached people we never knew before. So us, ourselves, okay, then we went and we saw our churches and the people that we knew. And then we met people that we had never met before. And we shared the gospel with them. We gave them an opportunity to receive Christ. We gave them life. Stories, there's many. But just start, we can talk about just our desperate need. Psalm 119, 25, right? Psalm 119, our desperate need for God. We're all desperately in need for God. The disparity of our soul without God. You know, like he, you know, it's like, just imagine, like in Genesis chapter 2, we are living just as dust that was created into some living being like an animal, and without the breath of God coming inside of us. Just imagine spreading our roots, you know, like horizontally, you know, in the dust, and like our security and our hope, you know, going. And we know that our hope is like, it's going to be like broken when we spread out our foundations like horizontally, like in the dust. But I was just, you know, Psalm 119:25. It's like, you know, like my soul, it cleaves. It's just like it means it sticks to, it abides in the dust. But quicken me according to your. But like, there's amazing hope for us when, like, the, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life can come in, and it can quicken my body, and it can just like literally like lift me out of the dust. Like you literally feel your soul being lifted out of the dust. You literally feel like. Answers being answered by life, and you like your earthly judgment just is like, it's just like has no value to you anymore. It's just like, it was great logic at one time, but it's like, it's just like you're just being lifted out of the dust. You're being quickened by his word, and this is the amazing hope that we have. And you know, our message, it's the gospel. It's not our message. It's, you know, it's the gospel. It's like if someone dies with Christ, accepts his death with Christ, there is an absolute guarantee. What is it? Resurrection life. There's resurrection life. It's guaranteed. This is the most faithful saying. This is the evidence that was proved on the cross. You know, after the third day, when we accept our death with Jesus Christ, there's an amazing quickening that always happens in our life. And we're saying, hey, where did that dusty, dirty, earthy life, that horizontal life go? And all of a sudden, we're delivered. So, summer harvest was amazing. We have so much we can do with our churches. We can be a part of we can like be a little bitty like joy taker to somebody else. We can just be a little bitty like life taker to somebody else. We can be just a little bitty like, you know, like giver of just like hope to somebody else. It's an amazing privilege that we have. And so thankful. So thankful that God is faithful. So thankful that God is faithful. And our lives aren't diminishing. Like they're like we're just realizing our opportunities with God in this life. And anyway, Psalm 119, verse 25, quicken thou me. It's a major, it's a quantum. It's like it's a new life. It's like something we've never had before. Amen.
Isn't that good, Pastor Gary? He left 30 days ago, went to Belfast, and believes that we should have a Greater Grace Church in Belfast, Northern Ireland. I was encouraged because 2 years ago, Pastor Westera and my Kathy Barinski, we had a team, and we went to Belfast, Dublin, and then Gemma, and Pastor Aiden and John Kenny, I believe, we went up. And I'm on the street, I met this young guy, and 2 years later he came, and they had lunch with him. He remembers our talk. He wants to grow in grace and learn grace, and he's very much interested in that. They also went to London. They were in Dublin, London, Belgium, Heidelberg, Berlin. He used to be the pastor in Berlin for 10 years. Also went to Moscow and then came back. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the fact that he came back, isn't that amazing? Thanks, Pastor. One of our heroes, Pastor Chris, also. Yeah, this is amazing. Okay, cafe cards, Marie Hadley. She's amazing. What a great family, huh? Boy. Could all the Hadleys stand up, please? There we go. Wow, that's... And then John Tomako, Polish brother, John. Okay, here he is. Shunki, Igazan Madyar. Shunki, yeah, here he is. Okay, here we go. Real Hungarian, John, there you go. Shunki, don't you love this guy? Love this guy. Love him. Love you. Look at Pastor Kennedy. Look at that. Pastor Kennedy, look at. We're taking good care of him. Arden Hopkins. And one more Hungarian, Noemi. Noemi. Okay, here we go. Now, may I tell a little bit about our history together? Okay, she's a precious, there you go. We love you. Thank you. Arden, thank you. Thank you. Beautiful. Noemi is from Budapest, and we met, I don't know, you were maybe 17 years old, maybe, I don't know how old, 15. And my landlady, 1990, okay, sorry for the dating, but my landlady knew her mother and father. And you know, she had a hunger in her heart for the Lord. And just beautiful. And her dad in World War II was... it's a Jewish family, and her dad was shot, fell in the Danube River, washed up on the steps in front of the parliament. He was 17, I think, if I remember the story. And he survived the bullet wound. Then he survived the war and then had a family. And here she is, you know, hallelujah. I mean, you know, to the glory of God, wow. I recently a newsletter from India. What a wonderful story about a man in northern India. Is Pastor Jomi here? Way up in the north in Punjab state, Pastor Carl and a team met them 10 years ago, way up, and this man wanted, he wanted to believe, he wanted what we had, and 10 years later, another team went up there, and that man has a church of 200 people. Like he had been receiving tapes or whatever tools that they use. He's been connected with the Bible school in Mumbai. I mean, amazing story of a man who has something in his heart, a calling and desire. Wow, a beautiful story. Turn now to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to share with you tonight about you'll get it in a little while. I'll tell you later. Turn to Rome. We're going to be moving around a little bit. Follow it with me in the beginning. First few minutes. It's a little disjointed, but you're going to get it. It's very simple and very important. It's Romans 10 is one of the subpoints. 10:22. And you'll do a little work with your neighbor tonight. I'm so happy. You know, I was excited. It's Wednesday. We're going to have church tonight. Really. I'm excited about it. Romans 10:22. What if God, willing to show his wrath, to make his power known, endured with much long suffering? I'm sorry, where am I? I'm in 9. I'm sorry, it's 11:22. Oh, you know more than I. Oh, okay. Okay, Romans 11:22. Don't correct the pastor publicly. I'm joking. Verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. And them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also shall be cut off. Two things. When we think of God, there's the goodness of God, the grace of God, the gospel of God, the amazing tenderness of God. I like a mother and the child picture of love. It's just amazing. A woman loving her child so much. God loving, being tender, very kind. I think on a Wednesday night we could hear a lot about that. Tell me about your goodness, your kindness, your grace. I need to hear it tonight. I need to know about this, and this is very important. But then the next word in the verse is severity. The severity. Do I have the iPad, Pastor? Okay, now turn with me to Jude, please. Jude. No. Romans 1. Romans 1. Terrible. Okay. Romans 1, verse 14. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Turn to your neighbor and just say, you look like a barbarian tonight. Could you... You look like a barbarian. And then say, you know, could you pick it up a notch? You know, kind of pick it up. Okay. All right, go back to the verse. 14. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. I'm a debtor to them. So as much as in me is, look at this. I asked, we were having coffee, Pastor Chris and Pastor Gary, this afternoon. We went down to the Inner Harbor and we did sketchboard down there and had a, you know, some of the students went with us, Bible college students, and a beautiful time sharing little by little here and there with people walking by. And this became like my meditation this afternoon. And I asked Pastor Chris if would we have billions of people today in the world, 7.4 or 7.5 billion people in the world. How many have lived in the history of the world? And Pastor Chris looked it up, and they say estimate 108 billion people have lived on the earth through human history. Then I was thinking, how many saved? How many born again? And of course, no one knows. Is it 2%, 3, 10, 15, 20? What percentage of the people? But we know this, that some are saved, and that God has done a lot by his goodness to communicate to people his love and his goodness. But we also know that in the scripture that people are without God, without Christ. And I just thought, well, what if 10%, real technically it would be 10.8 billion people in heaven. How many people? And again, I don't know. Throw this whole thing out, but it helps us think about the principle. A lot of people in heaven and a lot of people not in heaven. No, Pastor, that cannot be. God is so good and so kind. Look at the goodness of God. But the verse said, behold his goodness and his severity. The severity of God. Well, I don't like the severity part. I know, I don't either. I wish everything was strawberries and cream and Miami Beach and the sun shining and there's no enemy and no disease and no deaths and no tragedy. I also would like it to be with like a perfect world. But look at what we're reading. And as we go through the scripture and we learn and meditate on God's mind and think about this, we realize that God is crying out, my arms are outstretched all day long. We read in the book of Romans from the book of Isaiah. We read his kindness, gentleness, waiting, patient, gave his son. It gives the message through the Jewish people. And the apostle Paul said, I am a debtor to them, Greeks and barbarians who have no education, who are hairy, dressed in animal skins, living savagely in their tribes in Northern Europe and Russia, and outside of the Roman Empire, and they are barbarians. But the Greeks educated inside the empire, he was a debtor to both, Greeks and barbarians. So as much as in me is, verse 15, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Two things I want to say about the gospel. Number one, the deity. Gosh, I don't know. I can't spell. Is that right? Deity of Christ. Looks different on the iPad. I don't know if I got it. Is it the other way around? Is it right? E. It's E-I. Okay, thanks. It's even more clear now. Okay, verse 15. As much as in me is. This is what I'd like. I believe this is in you and it's working in you. Because I find a congregation that has a capacity to listen. And whenever we listen, the Holy Spirit is faithful to speak and anoint us and teach us so that we get little by little, we understand God's mind. And we are in a culture where people are very happy to hear about God's goodness, and I am happy about that. But very rarely do you hear something about his severity. What do you mean, severity? Everyone will go to heaven, or half of the people will go to heaven. Or you don't know who will go to heaven. Of course I don't know. God knows them that are his. But there's something shocking about this. It's shocking. There's something incredible that people would be without Christ, without God. Their sins would not be washed away. There is no mechanism. There is no way of being justified outside of faith in Christ. This is a big question in the heart of man. And when you realize it and study it out fervently, clearly, thoroughly, from the beginning of the Bible, through the Scripture, the Jewish people, the blood sacrifices, the deity of Christ, the message of the gospel, the finished work, the headship of Christ, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you realize that there is the reality of Christ in your life and in your heart. And there are people that don't know anything about it. They don't know how real it is. They don't have any interest in it. They don't have any new birth. They don't have any spiritual movement in the heart and mind. They don't have any consciousness of it. They go from one thing to the next, but they never get to the real issue of their life, which is to find him and to know him. Okay, go now to Jude with me, please. Jude, in verse 4. There are certain men crept in without you knowing about it. They come into the church who before of old ordained to this condemnation. If you are a student of church history, you can even give the names of these men that have crept into the church and then teach heresy. That's for another subject, and I realize this is just a Wednesday service, but I want to just say something about it. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. No change in their life. No faith in God. But just saying they want it their way. They deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They deny his deity. And then they have no recognition for righteousness and truth. And so the writer of Jude, who wrote it, he says, I will put you in remembrance in verse 5. This is another way of saying, I'm going to point out to you God's severity. I put you in remembrance. Though you once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe not. He came out of Egypt, but remember, they died in the wilderness. The severity of God. That's an amazing thought. He is serious. God is serious. It's like saying, we don't want to fool around. He's like live wire electricity, like Pastor Teplov had a good illustration of it in Russia. Did he tell it here? I don't remember where I was when he told it. He lived in this apartment building, and he had some. There was something about the electricity And he went out, and there was the electrical box with the lightning arrows and a skull and danger, high voltage. And, well, he, being the kind of guy that he was, took a screwdriver, opened it up, and started poking around. Well, there was a flash, a pop, a flash power, and it blinded him. And he couldn't see. And he was stunned by it. And he made, if he opened his eyes, it was pain. And he made his way to his apartment, into his apartment, and he just laid down. And he kept his eyes closed. And if he opened them, it was pain. And he was blinded. And he fell asleep, and I don't know how many hours later he woke up in the morning or how it was, and it was better. And eventually he got his sight back. Well, we're not talking about electricity, but about God. Do we have any respect for what we're talking about? Do we have any respect for the fooling around? Do we have for God? And does it address the whole nature of man that we cannot fool around? This is the living God. And he's given us grace so that I can live in a certain way and care about what he's talking about. And he's talking about the billions of people that are here in this world. And I cannot take the responsibility for all of these people, but I can say with Paul, perhaps in some way, I'm a debtor to the Greeks and the barbarians. I'm a debtor to these people because it is the power of God unto salvation. Because it's real. And the power of God takes away my sin and dwells in me and gives me the promise of eternal life. You have to say, what happened to the church? Where is the church with this message? And the answer is, we don't have it. But we got this. This is where it comes from. This is where our salt comes from. This is where our faith comes from. This is where our way of thinking comes from, where we say, God, we're on your side. Are there lost people? And God will say, definitely, there are lost people. And wait a minute, how can you, a loving, merciful God who gave your son? And he said, because I respect their free will. And I'm a searcher of the hearts of men. And I'm not putting it on you like you cannot, we cannot save the world, but we can be here and say, I do have to do something to get the message to the people, you know, like to people. So look at the next example, verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he is reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Another severity. I was thinking, do the angels have names? Anybody know the answer to that? Do the angels in heaven have names? Yes, they do. Why do we know that? Well, we have Gabriel and Michael, two examples. We have Lucifer, right? But when they fall, does God know their name? When they are fallen, does God know them? When they go to hell, maybe that's a better question. When they go to hell, does he know their name? It's over. It's like with a person. When they pass into eternity without Christ, he'll say, depart me from me. I never knew you. Like, I have no relationship with you. You are not in my book. It's over. You are lost. Can you imagine being lost? I cannot imagine that. being lost. I walked through a cemetery, I'm sure we've all done this, looking at the gravestones, and I wonder, who knows this person? 1872 to 1912, you read it on the stone. 1643 up at Cape Cod, 1643 to 1682. Who knows that person? No one alive knows them. No one knows them on the earth. No one knows them. Can you imagine? No one knows you on the earth. No one knows you at all. All the things of your life mean absolutely nothing. Can you imagine? Everything that you ever experienced in your life, in eternity, it means nothing. Can you imagine the greatest tragedy of all is that God doesn't know you? There's no record. I have no record. You're not in my book. I don't know you. You are gone. You are in, you are cast away. You are lost. If the severity of God has done that to angels that once knew him and walked in his presence and had names, now they are lost and gone. And man, also, this is shocking. Look at the next one. It's not enough. He goes to seven. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh. It's referring to the homosexual lust. After strange flesh, set forth it as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, these filthy dreamers who creeped into the church to pollute the church and change the doctrine, who creep in. And God is saying, I have severity for these people. You think I fool around? It's like God is saying, do you think I fool around? I'm the real thing. And you haven't yet met my reality. But when you meet my reality is reality. And I am very sorry. You'll never get adjusted to it. You'll never accept it. You won't acknowledge. You will just suffer as a consequence of it. Unless you are born of me, born of my son. Oh, if you believe in me, you are. I love you. I'm not saying these things to frighten us. We are secure in him. Behold his goodness. But have we gotten shocked by the reality of the fact that probably, without any question, billions and billions of people are lost. And I can't handle it. No, I don't know. I can't handle it. But I know it's there. And we get close to the heart of God and the mind of God. We say, Lord, help me. Help me be a messenger. Help me be a minister. Help me to open my mouth. Help me to care. Help me to communicate. Help me to be part of a church. Hey, at the end of the day, this is the only thing I got left, is my faith in what God has said. Because we're all losing our strength and losing our, I mean, we're losing our things. We are living great years. We are in our 20s and 30s and 40s and 60s and 70s, 80s and so on. But at the end of the day, what matters is that we were on God's side in something that was bigger than us. That we're actually putting treasure in heaven. We're actually bringing souls into the kingdom of God. Like that brother in India, in the Punjab. That man in Belfast, Ireland. The brothers that were in Cambodia and Vietnam. Or the Vietnamese brother met Phil Winslow last year. And he came 8 or 10 hours on the bus just to meet him. Because the Spirit was drawing that young man. That's what we're part of. I mean, this is a joy. It's both. It's a joy. Yes, billions of people in heaven. Yes, it's an incredible work of grace that all of us are not lost. That's amazing. All the angels that fell, they're all lost. But we have fallen too, but we are redeemed. And that redemption is real and redemption is happening. Now people are getting saved and born again. And people are realizing that Christ is God. That the blood has washed my sin away. The Holy Spirit is in us. And that we actually have a mission and a vision. And if you and I are part of this, then we are very blessed as people, as believers. We are very privileged to be part of it. And we were talking this afternoon, and I just want to finish in a minute. One thing about Pastor Stevens was that he believed it and was willing and desiring to do it. Let's do it. And as he was doing it and we came along, it was so easy. We were so relaxed, but also so fervent. Because at times the Spirit would anoint the meetings and we realized we are in God's presence. And God was speaking to our hearts. And with our hearts, we started to believe what Jesus was saying. When he said that what's it profit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? What does it profit if you gain the whole world on top of the world but you lose your soul? What do you mean, Lord, lose your soul? What does it profit you if you lose your soul? Your soul is made to live forever, and you could lose it. Will you trade all this world's goods for gaining your soul? Will you trade all the world and all that it has to offer you in order to gain? I want to gain my soul. And then the paradox is, if you gain your soul from God, God redeems you and fills you and satisfies you, you may end up also with a good portion of the world at your fingertips. You may find yourself sitting on top of something great. You may find yourself blessed in many ways, but that is not our treasure. Our treasure is our relationship, our fellowship. Behold the goodness of God. How about 1 Timothy 6, verse 17? It's not commonly read. I want to read it to you. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Well, don't shut me off. Listen to this part. Don't trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. He gives me a barbecue. He gives me a truck, a car, a house, a wife, a child. He gives me a job, a company. He gives me richly all things to enjoy. There's nothing wrong with enjoying all of these blessings, but they are called uncertain riches. That what we have gained is certain. It's certain. We must share it. We must care about the lost people. We must learn to share our faith. We must learn how to talk in a relaxed and a personal way and a loving way with people. We must share our faith with people. And you never know, the Holy Spirit will take something that you and I say and put it in their heart, and they'll come back. And they will say, you know, tell me more. It happens. They will come back and say, I want more. If it doesn't happen, if people are lost and they continue in it, if they continue in their unbelief, if they get stubborn and proud, indifferent, like we all have been and are at times, behold the goodness of God. He will come again. He will come again. But you never know when the life is over and the soul is lost. Wow. Let's pray right now. Father, we just want this to mean something to us tonight as we go home. We just want to get a hold of it. care about it and say with the Apostle Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Just share it. Learn how to share it and love people with it and compel them to come in to pray for the lost and renew us in our prayers for our neighbors. Renew us in our prayers for our people on the street and around the world, and that we would be missionaries right here in Baltimore this fall season in our busy schedule, but you would move in our quiet times, in our hearts, and care about others, Lord. And do a work we cannot see. Do a work that we don't understand how, but it happened to us. It happened to us. And we are carrying a treasure and indebted to the unbeliever to share that message. It may be awkward, but awkwardness will not stop me. I might not be received, but being rejected will not stop me. It might be out, it might be not a cool thing to do, but it will not stop me, because I want to meet God in it. God has commissioned us, God has anointed us, God is using us. God has a message for the unbeliever. And fill our church and our churches around the world, and in America, the American Greater Grace Churches, and all churches, Baptists and Pentecostals, whatever, wherever Jesus is being, the mega churches, and also the non-denominational, and the independent, and all the churches, Lord, there's a hunger for depth, reality, God's Spirit and Word, we pray. If you're here, you don't have Jesus in your heart, say to Jesus, I believe in you tonight. I believe in you and I trust you. Raise your hand, anyone at all in the auditorium. I believe in you. I believe in you. Raise your hand. Then I want to ask you on Saturday morning, put it in your schedule the best you can and go out on the outreach down the fellowship hall, 9:30. Come on down. Let's go out and meet some people on the street and learn how to share your faith. Do it. If not every Saturday, do it every once in a while. And many, all of us do it. I've been doing it every Saturday for more than 40 years. I learned it that 40 years ago. And I don't ever stop. I don't ever stop. It's part of my life. It's part of my life. I don't know what it has meant through the years, but it's part of my life. It takes faith to do it. It takes faith in God. It takes just some attitude of faith on the rainy days, just saying, Lord, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. It won't mean anything. Won't do anything to anybody's life. And Jesus said, do you want to walk by faith? I said, yes, Lord, I'll walk by faith. And then go by faith. Lord, bless. We're in the car. It's all raining out. I go to the door by faith. Just living by faith. That's how we live, by faith. That's how we overcome the world, by faith. Then that faith pours over into my personal life. And somehow I stop sinning, like I used to sin more. But somehow I live now by faith. God is doing something, because we live by faith. Then a vision comes. Then he puts it in my heart to do something by faith. We live by faith. Don't stop sharing your message of God's love, but do it by faith. It'll affect your whole life. Be a Christian who shares his faith. In your name, amen.